Hi, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It, the podcast for people who want to discover the keys to unlock their full potential and to build a strong foundation that will see you through even the most difficult storms of life. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Susan. And each of us has overcome challenges that could have destroyed us. Instead, we discovered the secrets to finding our own inner peace. And we're here with you today to share them with you.
It's your birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for your birthday?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to cook lasagna dinner for Bella and Brian because Bella wants to spend time with me. And I guess I'll show her how to do it. And then we're going to go out and hear music.
So you're going to have a nice day anyway?
Yeah. After I spend the day sanding and refinishing a table.
You're not going to be sulking because you haven't had your date tonight.
I'm trying not to.
So what do you think unconditional love is?
Me? Well, it just so happens that I came up with a definition.
That's what I haven't told Susan we're recording yet.
Oh, we are? Okay, fine. I'll speak faster then. Unconditional love is caring about the happiness of another person without any thought about what we may get for ourselves. It's when someone cares about our happiness unconditionally.
So what does that feel like to you?
I think my daughter's one good example. Like, you know, people say unconditional love can't be real because there are certain things a person could do and you wouldn't love them anymore. She could do the most horrible, horrible thing. And I might still think she deserves to be punished for that horrible thing, but I'm not going to stop loving her and wanting what's best for her, no matter what she does.
But don't you in that moment have other feelings as well? Like, she annoys you or you're angry and all those other things.
Yeah.
So unconditional love, you're saying, is like below all that.
Yeah, like all of those. I mean, like, okay, so like in a relationship, what I think unconditional love looks like is, you know, accepting the other person the way they are, even if you don't agree with something. And still loving them and working that out afterward, whether that's, you know, actually fixing the problem or whether that's deciding their happiness is not with you and you care about their happiness, so you let them go.
Okay, so what does love with conditions look like?
To me, love with conditions looks like most relationships, I think, that I'm not going to love you anymore because you drink too much alcohol or because you like to drive motorcycles or because, you know, whatever thing it is. It could be something really bad. It could be something tiny. But everyone has this list of things in the back of their head that they're not willing to put up with. Those are conditions.
So you're basically choosing to hold back
love. To dislike someone because of them, you know?
So you're choosing to hold back love based on what you think they should and should not be doing.
Exactly. Which goes back to expectations, which is something we've talked about so much.
It makes me think of most relationships I've ever had. And that doesn't mean they haven't been loving and great relationships.
Right.
But they have had conditions attached to them. And I think every relationship does.
Yeah.
So this love unconditional that you hear everywhere now in the spiritual practices and spiritual journeys and things like that, it does exist, but it's completely open and vulnerable. And it's not part of relationships. It's not part of the egoic kind of what can I get out of it.
Right.
And like you mentioned about loving your daughter, Bella, same as me and Kemba, she annoys the hell out of me. She really winds me up. Well, she doesn't. I choose to get wound up by her sometimes and what she does. And because where she's to, she phoned me the other day and she was really worried about money.
Yeah.
And she was worried about something was going to go wrong. And, well, their cat just got bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go into the emergency vet, and the emergency vet bandaged it up and said that it might be broken. If it's broke, it's going to cost a lot of money. Well, she phoned me and said, what am I going to do? It's going to, we can't afford it. What are we going to do? And she was really upset. And it triggered me because I was thinking, well, you don't know it's definitely broken. You don't know the circumstances yet.
Yeah.
You don't know how much you're. But she was in it at that moment, really worried.
Mm-hmm.
They've just moved into their own house. They've got enough money to pay the bills, and suddenly they've got the cat that's in this problem. Well, I got quite triggered by it on the phone because I was like, Kem, you're annoying me now because you're worried about something that may never happen.
Right.
And I think, well, I used to do that all the time, and it's only now recently I've stopped doing it.
Yeah.
So although I love her unconditionally, I still get annoyed. I still get, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The cat is okay. The cat did break its leg and had to have its leg off.
Aww.
But it's okay. Everything's sorted. And cats live perfectly well because my mum's got a cat with three legs. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life.
But yeah, that's just an example. And the other thing I think of unconditional love is, if you really want to unconditionally love in a relationship, you're there with your partner, and that partner comes up to you and says, hey, I would really like to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to love that about them.
Yeah.
And you have to embrace that, even if it's something you might not agree with.
Yeah.
And it might be something crazy like, hey, you know, I love you, but I have an urge to have an affair or sleep with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And to love unconditionally, you would look up and say, okay, that's all right with me. And you love that aspect of them. But how hard would that be?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. It is. It's super, super hard. And really, everyone is focused on finding unconditional love, receiving unconditional love. And I really don't think that's what it's about at all. Unconditional love is truly your own ability to give that kind of love. And it is hard, and it takes a lot of practice, and no one's perfect. And but it is possible.
I think it's possible. And it's a moment by moment thing.
It is.
It's very much in this moment, can we sit here amongst what's happening and be open and be vulnerable and love and not judge?
Yeah.
Because like the Dalai Lama says, love is the absence of judgment.
Yeah.
So we're not judging whether that person is, their actions are going to make me happy or make me sad. We're not judging whether or not they're worthy of my time or my openness.
Yeah.
So unconditional love, to me, I can't see it really plays a part in a relationship. We're just not there yet. As humans, we have not evolved.
Right. I agree with that.
Be there.
Yeah.
But I think it is coming in respect of us being able to hold some of the world's problems and love the struggle that other people are in. That's what I got.
This is a hard subject, isn't it?
It is a difficult subject. And how do we cultivate this love? Well, to me, over the last few years, love has changed through my life.
Oh yeah, me too.
You know, the way I used to love was, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And it's been like that for nearly every relationship I've had. I've been very selfish in my relationships.
Yeah.
It's been very much, you know, I do love them. I love them for who they are. But also, it's really important for what I get out of it.
Right.
Unconditional love is not, like you were saying at the beginning, it's got nothing to do with what you get out of it. You're giving it without having anything back.
Exactly. And I think early on, I think most people, when they're early on in their dating career, if you want to call it that, that's normal for them to be looking at what they can get out of the relationship.
Dating career.
And if they're like a child, you know, an egocentric child in relationships.
And we're all egocentric to a degree.
Yeah, everyone's been there.
It's not something, as much as I meet people all the time that, well, I was never like that.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you like it, you'll probably still like it.
Right?
It's only when you get out of it that you see what you were.
Yeah.
And like, I have flaws. I have things that I'm not perfect at now.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it isn't until I outgrow them through working on myself I would be able to recognize them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like most people spend most of their lives putting themselves in a cage, not realizing the door's wide open and all I can do is just fly out, and they can't see it until they look back, until they leave and look back, and then they see what they did to themselves.
So what does unconditional love look like when it's pointed inwards towards ourselves?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's probably the most important part of it.
Because
we talked about judgment and you mentioned accepting. Imagine if we accepted every single part of ourselves.
Yep.
Unconditionally, and just allowed us to be exactly who we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you were saying before about it being very in the moment, that reminded me of self-confidence. Self-confidence in general is a decision in the moment. And what you're talking about here is really just building your own self-confidence. Like, you know, I used to be super self-conscious of my body because I'm super thin naturally. And I was like super, super thin. People are like, oh, you have an eating disorder. Oh, you need to eat more food. Oh, you tried this. Have you tried this? This is just the way I am. And I used to be super, super self-conscious about it until I got to the point where I was like, well, no, wait a minute. You know, if somebody else doesn't like that part of me, then, you know, what they think doesn't matter. What matters is what I think of myself. And I like myself just the way I am. And all, you know.
Okay, so how did you learn to love your body?
Telling myself things like that, realizing things like that.
It's not an easy thing to do. And
it's hard.
We've all got that one big long mirror in the house that we go past and like,
yeah. But you know, the thing is everyone likes something different. Some people might like a bigger girl. Some people like a smaller girl. Like everyone has different tastes in physical attributes, in personality, everything.
But what made you in your life transition between you being judgmental and you not liking the way you are in your body, you not liking any of it, to accepting your body with what we would call, in quotes, flaws and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, honestly, I got to the point where I realized how much I really hated being judged by other people and watching people judge other people. And I just kind of realized, well, hey, that means I shouldn't judge myself either.
Do you think as well, because this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently, and I always thought everybody else judges a lot.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I judge myself and always have done way more than I judge other people.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been thinking about this over the past few months. I really do think when we say about loads of people outside there judging us, judging other people, I think the reality is we are doing way more inward judging than anybody could ever judge us on.
Most of those people don't care. They're not thinking about you.
No, but they're judging themselves.
They are. And sometimes that comes out as judgments on others.
And this is where the unconditional love comes in. Just, you know, allow everything, whatever comes up, love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not it pushes the wrong buttons, whether or not it annoys us or anything, whether or not it's the way we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Just love that as if it's there for you.
Yeah. One thing that really helped me was learning how to love and appreciate and be grateful for things that had happened to me in the past that were not good.
Yeah.
Being able to look at those things and see the lesson in them and the silver lining in the situations. That really probably was a big jumping off point for me.
It's probably the same for me, actually.
Yeah.
I had my gift of my broken neck that made me do it very suddenly.
Yeah.
In that 12 months, I went from being a teenager that took everything for granted to really going, oh, I've got to live with some gratitude here because I do actually, I don't want to die. I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really, really changed me.
Yeah.
But it took another 20, 25 years to be able to open up and allow everything in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then turning it around again to allowing everything to arise within me and love that too.
Yeah.
It was almost easier to allow the outside world in. It was almost easier to love somebody else that's struggling, even if I would have deemed them my enemy at one point, than what it was to love myself.
Oh, yeah.
I put I put more expectations on myself than I did everybody.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've been there. Actually, you know, what kind of kickstarted it for me was when I had an ovary that had like a giant baseball sized cyst on it, and they had to remove it. They took the whole thing out, which made my hormones go crazy. And I get really bad migraines, and that's a big trigger for me. And when they took it out, my migraines just went absolutely insane. I went 28 days straight with no break, had like a couple hours of break, and then it started back up again. And it went on like that for a year. And at the end of the year, you know, the whole time I'm like, why, you know, haven't I been through enough? Why am I having to deal with this? All those questions people ask when they're going through a hard time, like a really, 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 really hard time. And at the end I got to it and I'm like, I realized that I felt super strong. Like I could do anything, like I could get through anything. And then that's what made me look at that whole year and go, oh my gosh, this was the most awful, painful year of my life. And yet it made me so strong. It gave me the courage to leave my marriage. So it was a life-changing thing, but my way of thinking didn't change right away. It took years and years and years of practice to do that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the same thing as what you were saying.
Well, we have those moments of clarity, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Even as teenagers and young adults and all that, even as children, we have these moments of eternal bliss, not eternal bliss, these moments of bliss and feel good. And it's...
Yeah.
You know, when we're connected with what we would call spirit or soul or things. And that to me, that's where the unconditional love is. When you're completely connected, when you're playing music in the front room, when you're dancing around, and there's no you and them, you and the outside world, is all just part of everything.
Yeah.
You have those moments. But where I see unconditional fit into this is... being able to cultivate them.
Yeah. Oh,
Instead of just waiting for them to randomly appear, we actively bring it to the moment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And the same as what you learned to over that month with having the headaches, having that removed. And it really is one breath at a time. It's one moment at a time. How can I love in this moment? And I suppose that's the big question, is not how does unconditional love fit in the future and loving the past and all that. What does it look like to love unconditionally right now in this moment?
Yeah.
Problem is we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's a feeling.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go in and sit down with certain gurus or certain people or some of the elderly that have been through everything in their lives, and you sit down and there's just a about them.
Yeah.
And you know you can just say anything in front of them and they're going to love you for it anyway.
Yeah.
You're not frightened of asking the stupid question. You're not frightened of making a silly noise or getting something wrong or stepping and falling over something, because none of that matters.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is what it is. Complete acceptance for everything externally and internally. And then they both become one anyway, so there's no internal and external at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a thought.
I mean, no, that perfectly describes, you know, what it looks like to me right now. Acceptance of who the other person is, and, you know, even caring more about their happiness than what, you know, what's your, I mean, sounds simple. It sounds so simple, but it's not, is it?
This is the whole spiritual journey. It is, it's so simple and it's so subtle. We have got, we've become so complicated with habits and thinking and life and what things should be, that the subtleties of the real life, it's just no longer there anymore. We have to just step back and step back and step back. It was there when we were born. It's just we spent our whole life running from it because we feel as if, you know, we feel as if we need to achieve all the time. Mm-hmm. And this unconditional love, it's don't mistake it for something to achieve. You already have it. It's already there. You're already doing it. But it's masked by all the noise above it. The noise of the thinking, the noise of the emotions that are linked to behaviors and triggers. So if I was to sum it up, before we go, if I was to sum it up in one sentence, it would be unconditional love is completely accepting the whole moment, everything, internally and externally, as it is, and it's serving for you.
Yeah, yes, I like that. That's perfect.
Imagine if we just showed up with life that this moment is for me. Everything is here for me to serve me, whether it's what's deemed as a bad experience or good or anything, but not in an ego way, not this is mine.
Right, right, yes. No,
it serves me. This is here for me and everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Bingo.
If you want to support us, head over to flipitandrebuildit.com and click the patron and you can go in and support us. Otherwise, leave comments. Let me know. Do you think unconditional love is possible in a relationship or not?
Yeah.
Do you think it is, Susan?
I do. I feel like I'm the closest to it now I've ever been. And I would love to hear from some people that feel the same way.
Yeah, I would, because I'm not quite there yet in a relationship. I mean,
we already know there's a bunch of people that think it's not possible. Yeah. I want to know why people think it is possible.
I'm not saying it's not possible.
It's mission impossible.
It does feel like it at times.
It does, doesn't it?
Thank you guys for listening.